In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text is the lesson just read. Be dressed. Be ready. Be waiting. These imperatives call us to a holy vocation at the end of the church year. How good are you at waiting? How patient can you be? I have a classmate, for example, who has been in the ministry some 30 years. He has gained a reputation of being a fine, caring, attentive pastor. If you went to see him, he would make available whatever time was required. Indeed, the shut-ins and those in hospitals talk about the way in which he is never hurried, but he enters their world and gives them the gifts of Christ's holy word and sacraments. Yet, that very same pastor, if he visited our campus today and exiting onto Clinton discovered that you were dallying and that you hadn't immediately gone for an open crossing, would immediately turn into Moses with righteous wrath and indignation. Behind the wheel, he seems to lack all patience. Well, we probably are all like that. Sometimes we find it hard to be patient, sometimes easier. But there's one arena, that of our text, in which we dare not fail to wait and to be patient. Listen to how Jesus calls us to a state of alertness, readiness, anticipation. He says, "Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes." Notice that our waiting at the end of the church year is not merely passivity. It's not mere idleness. It's not inactivity or kind of a boring emptiness. No, our lamps are to be burning. When the knock of the Master comes, we are to be there quickly. Think of how this world would come to attention if there were some indication that the end was near. The churches would be packed. Liberal theology would not have one follower. The happy, clappy mood of some churches would disappear and the ancient soberness of contrition and repentance would return as the heavens would announce the holy and righteous and almighty God returning. But Jesus warns us. He warns us that no such lead time is going to be available. Last-minute reversals reveal only self-interest. Not confession, not affection, not worship of the Holy One who is coming. No, our readiness appears very routine to those outside. To daily come, to daily confess, to daily be absolved, to daily receive the gifts of our baptismal union with Christ, the nurture of His life-giving Word, and the banquet of His holy body and blood. How strange and how foreign our behavior appears in the eyes of our culture. But it's precisely in these things that we wait appropriately. It's in these things that our old Adam is daily crushed, and that laziness and all those distractions are driven away. It's not accidental that right before this text, Luke puts the parable of the rich man who had stored up everything in barns only to have his soul required that same night. What a parable for our time. The frenzy at our malls where holy days are replaced by shopping days, and yet the souls of men and women are being called to eternity as well. But again, like the servants in our text, The Master's grace calls us and enables us to be ready, to wait actively and expectantly, and to be patient with a peaceful attentiveness. Why can we do that? Why can we wait and wait and wait, and not with frustration, but with fulfillment and with peace? Why? Because the Master has shown us who He is. In the cross, at the font, on the altar, through the voice of Jesus in prophetic and apostolic witness, we have seen the One whom we anticipate, and the wonder and the beauty of this God calls us for present and eternal preparation. Our hearts beat, our eyes are cleared of the clutter, and our ears long for that trumpet blast that will announce His arrival. A seminary community, as God gives us faithfulness, is a clear witness to such waiting. We're a city set on a hill. We're eager and active in our wait, and it goes on and on. And when the world looks at us and sees us, they puzzle. They would rather have a strategic plan with measurable results. Well, we have seen the results already bestowed in God's gifts, His holy atoning work in Christ. And those results call us to await the public display of God's reign. How we need to reach out to those who are being crushed in the aisles and parking lots and malls and invite them to come away from the frenzy to a peaceful and holy wait, to worship and to a scriptural longing for God's reign that will announce His beauty and goodness and righteousness to the faithful. His holy sacrifice is the power that propels us to this place day after day. To wait in this fashion is simply to worship. And to worship properly is to wait on the God who has come. This is our Lord's calling. Come and wait. Come to this chapel frequently and faithfully in the coming weeks. Prepare for His second coming. Prepare as we remember the mystery and wonder of His incarnation. Let us wait happily and peacefully, and prepare for the God whom we know, the blessed and most holy Trinity, who has shown His grace and mercy in the face of Christ. God grant us such holy vocation. Amen.